Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, please. Hebrews, chapter 1. I want to entitle the message, You Can't Get an FM Station on an AM Dial. You like my clever little... You can't get an FM radio station on an AM dial. Hebrews, chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke, everybody say spoke, in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken, everybody say spoken, to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Notice, I kind of highlighted, as we were reading those two verses of scripture, I highlighted two different verb tenses. The first one was what? God spoke in the past. Now let me refresh your English just a little bit. I'm sure some of you guys already know this. Spoke is past tense. It is a completed action that happened in the past, right? It is completed and over and done with. So God the Father spoke in the past, but notice, has spoken in these last days through whom? His Son. So in the past, God the Father spoke. In these last days, he has spoken. That is past perfect tense. Do we have any English teachers here? English majors? Nobody? Okay, so you'll have to trust me that I'm not fibbing you. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Past perfect tense means an action completed in the past with ongoing effects into the present and ongoing effects into the future. Right? So God the Father spoke in the past, completed action, has in these last days spoken, past perfect tense. God has spoken through his Son. Okay? The words of Jesus are completed, right? We're not continuing to write new red writing in our Bibles, are we? They are completed. The Son has spoken a completed action in the past that still impacts our present, right? Do the words of Jesus not still speak to us? Will the words of Jesus not still speak to us in the future? Right? Past perfect. And go with me to chapter 3 of Hebrews. I saw this one day and it just... boom. It was like a heavy revelation. A heavy revelation. Alright, Hebrews chapter 3. And I'll let... Brother Scott, are you reading out of the New International Version? Would you mind reading verse 7, sir, please?
Focus my eyes.
Okay.
So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice.
There you go. The Holy Spirit says or speaks. What verb tense is says?
Present.
Now, present tense, right? So notice, we have all of God speaking in all time dimensions. In the past, the Father spoke in the past. In these last days, the Son has spoken, completed action with ongoing effects. And today, now, what member of the Godhead is speaking? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So, all right. So now that we have that, listen, I want to make one point in this message, throughout this message, and I want to ask one question. I'm going to keep it simple. All righty? I'm going to make one point and ask one question. The one point is this. God is always speaking. In the past, God spoke. In these last days, the Son has spoken. And today, the Holy Spirit speaks. Isn't that cool? Isn't that pretty neat? All of God is speaking in all time frames, in all time dimensions. That's just mind-blowing. So when people tell us, sometimes very sincerely, when they tell us, Pastor Joe or Brother Scott or Sister Karen talk about God speaking to them, why doesn't he speak to me? So the title of my message, you cannot get an FM station on an AM dial. Does that make sense, Todd? You like that? You cannot get an FM station. You're tuning into the wrong frequency. On the phone with Brother Scott is my beautiful lady, and I were driving down. He said, "Hey, oh, by the way, your message is on the radio right now, right, Brother Scott?" And I said, "All right, great. Well, I'll tune in." And we tuned in, and it was kind of weird. I'm driving down hearing myself speak. Driving down, but we had the radio station to the FM frequency, and then we had to go to the AM to hear that particular, is it AM 880?
870.
Thank you. That's what we tuned into. 870. And so I was on the wrong frequency, but once I got on the right frequency, I could tune in to hear myself speak, right? That's just an illustration. Now, had I remained on FM, would it have been right for me to say, well, that station doesn't exist because it's not on the FM dial? Is that correct? Was the AM frequency still going on even though I wasn't tuned in to the right frequency?
Yes.
So let's use that illustration. Does God always speak even though I don't always hear him speak?
Yes.
Yes. Why? God is always, say it with me, speaking.
Speaking.
Very good. God is always speaking. I remember, just a couple weeks ago when I was preparing for this message and I was praying about it and really saying, "Lord, what do you want me to talk about?" And I remember as clear as day, I was driving to work that morning and all these scriptures started coming to me and I'm like, whoa. And it was like the Lord shaking me and telling me, and it was revolutionary in my mind because I always thought that I had to, that the bulk of the responsibility for me to hear God was on me, and that God would occasionally throw me, a bone here and there. And, that it was me, but God like shook me and he said, "Joe," it was like God telling, can I use this in an old situation? Like God telling me, "Terry, I'm always speaking. Thank you, brother. It's like the Lord was shaking and saying, "Joe, I'm always speaking." And then all of a sudden, that scripture came, all these scriptures came to mind. God spoke, past tense, the Son has spoken, past perfect tense, and the Holy Spirit speaks, present tense. Wow, that just... And then another verse of scripture came to mind. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. That the heavens declare the glory of God. How often do the heavens speak about God's glory? Next verse. Day after day, they pour forth speech. How often do the heavens talk about God's glory? Day after day. So how often is God speaking through the heavens about his glory? Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So how often is God speaking? Through his creation. Every day. Every day. Say it with me. God is always
speaking.
Every day.
Why don't we say it three times? One for the Father. One for the Son. One for the Holy Spirit. Right? That's right. Now, it would be straight tripping with me if I told you the Lord confirmed this message to me just this morning and about a week and a half ago. This morning, the verse you brought up, Ms. Nobla. Tonight, I'm going to keep talking about the same thing, but tonight I'm talking about dreams and visions. God using spectacular forms to speak to us. You don't want to miss it. But this morning, on every week, I tune into my home church in El Paso, Texas, and I listened to my pastor speak, and he quoted a verse of scripture that the Lord gave me in my car as I was driving that morning to work, and it is Proverbs chapter 120 out of the New Living Translation, Proverbs 120, that says, wisdom shouts in the streets every day. God's wisdom shouts. You know the difference between that morning when that verse of scripture came to me? I had read that verse countless times. I had heard my pastor or other believers quote it countless times. But for one reason or another, this is the way I interpreted that verse. Wisdom whispers. So I have to strain, to hear the wisdom of God. Is that what that verse says? What is wisdom doing in the streets?
Shouts
every day. And wisdom is not in a secret closet whispering. Where is wisdom shouting? In the streets every day. And then it goes on to say that wisdom cries out in the public square where all the people gather. So off of those scriptures, let me ask you then, church family, let me ask you then, how often does God speak to us?
All the time.
All the time. Let's say it one more time. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. Now, so the question is then, what frequency are we tuning into? That's a question. Remember I said this message has one point. God is always speaking. And it has one question. What frequency are you and I tuned into? Because, as the title of the message says, you cannot get an FM station on an AM dial, right? Now, the AM frequencies are always there. The FM frequencies are always there. Likewise, God's voice, whether he uses creation or other things to speak to us, are always there. What frequency are we tuned into? Now, I'm going to hammer a point that the Lord really laid on my heart when I was on. I mean, I'm telling you, I had a little personal epiphany, a little personal revival that drive to work. That day was just awesome. I was just walking on cloud. Anybody ever had a revelation from the Word and you just the rest of the day you were just like walking on cloud nine? You're like, God spoke to me and opened my eyes to things I did not know were there all along. So anyway, but one point that the Lord laid on my heart is this. I'm going to say it the way it came to me. Complaining that God doesn't speak to you when you don't open your Bible is like complaining that you don't receive text messages when your phone is off. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen?
Amen.
Well, Pastor Joe, I never hear God. God doesn't speak to me. I wish he would speak to me the way he speaks to you. So let me ask you, are you reading your Bible? Because after all, it is the Word of God, right? Words denote speech. God always speaks through his Word. Amen to that?
Amen.
Let me take it another step. God will never tell you something, excuse me, that will contradict his Word. Amen?
Amen?
God will never tell you or me something that will contradict his Word. Remember one time I heard a minister say that a young man walked up to him and said, "Hey, Pastor, I want you to pray with me because I believe the Lord spoke to me that he was going to give me that gal," another lady in church, "that gal to be my wife." The pastor looked at him and he said, "Which gal?" "Well, that gal." He said, the pastor looked at him and said, "You are out to lunch, buddy, because that gal is already married." And what does the Bible say? One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. So, was God really speaking to that young man? I think his hormones were speaking to him quite loudly. Because God will never tell us, church family, something that will go against His written word. This would be a great time for a resounding
amen. Amen.
Thank you. So I want to encourage you, open your Bibles and read. You know, I've been on a reading plan every day. read the New Testament in 2018. I think I started in February and finished in November. But I only read a chapter a day. I only read one chapter. I'm not on these like I'm going to read three chapters out of the Old Testament and two out of the New Testament. I'm not into that. I'm not into speed. I want the Lord to speak to me. And just off of one chapter a day, it has been mind-blowing what God speaks to me. The verses that I've read many, many, many times, and all of a sudden they jump out in a fresh and a new way. Who's all had that happen to you? Because the Word of God is alive. It is active, isn't it? It is sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and bones and marrow. Do you say marrow here or do you say marrow?
Marrow.
Thank you. Okay. In Texas, they say marrow. Okay. No big deal. All right. So the Word is alive. So first of all, are we opening our Bibles? Because God's Word, number one way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Now, just to elaborate the point just a little bit, and then we'll move on, okay? Would God ever give us a vision or a dream or something so spectacular that would contradict His Word?
No.
You know, I remember many years ago, there was a book written. This was back in the 90s, early 90s. It's titled Embraced by the Light. I can't remember what the lady's name was who had this near-death experience. Do I believe that there are such things as authentic near-death experiences? I do. But do I also believe that the enemy can give people a near-death experience that contradicts God's Word? Absolutely. And that's what happened in this lady's case, because she said, she was on Oprah, and I remember watching, I was tuning in. I don't watch Oprah. It was just one of those freak accidents, because I was intrigued by the subject. And I was in my 20s back then, and I was listening, and this lady said that her heaven was just hers for her alone, that there's other people's heavens that are just as legitimate, that Jesus won't always be somebody else's God, that somebody can go to their heaven and meet their personal God. And I thought, nah, sorry, I'm done listening to this, because I don't care how spectacular her near-death experience was, as long as it contradicts the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good teaching. Amen? Baby, God's not out to tickle your ears or tickle your fancy or entertain us in high definition and 3D visions. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's tonight's subject. But that's not His purpose. God's purpose is to speak to us His counsel, His wisdom that derives from His holiness. Right? And a holy God will never go against His own nature. That is against God's nature to go against His own Word. He does not have multiple personalities. Yoo-hoo. God will not tell you something that will contradict His Word. It will always, always, always line up with His Word. Okay, now that I've got that aspect of the message out of the way, let's close with this. Are we on the wrong frequency? Are we on the wrong frequency? Are we on the frequency of negativity? Can I just speak from personal experience? That way nobody feels like I'm shooting at them or throwing stones. You know, when I was younger, I was super, super negative because I was raised in a very negative household. My father was a very fearful, fear-driven man. And so when I was young and I wanted to go off for sports. Nick said, no, I don't want you to play football because you'll get injured. No, I don't want you to do this because you'll get injured. No, I don't want you to do that. And so it robbed my initiative from me. Now, when I became a father, I heard myself tell my daughters the same things that my dad told me. How many of us know, church family, that you got to let kids, to some extent, you got to let kids be kids? Let me say here, profound wisdom of the day. This is God speaking. Kids are resilient.
Yes.
We drank water from water hoses. They're saying, don't do that now. You'll keel over. Am I right?
Right.
We used to jump on trees. Some of us broke limbs. And then, you know, we survived all that. We are resilient. And so I had all this fear. I was ruled by fear because of the negative messages that were constantly shooting at me. And in my early 20s, all these fears gave way to a panic disorder in me. Because I was tuning to the wrong frequency. And you know, not surprisingly, because I was so negative, and at the time, to me, it just seemed like reality. And it's funny how sometimes we'll fight for the right to be negative, won't we? Because we'll tell somebody that's hopeful and positive and joyful, and they'll say, well, I'm being realistic. You're being too optimistic, but I'm being realistic. I'm a realist. I remember in my previous pastorate, you know, we built a brand new building from scratch. And before... Why is that funny?
From scratch. Well, that'd be a good place to start.
Sorry, yes. We're not making cookies here, right, Barney? My bad. So we built a brand new building. But before, in some of the meetings to prepare, the leaders were not fully decided whether they wanted to go ahead with a building project or not. And one person said, well, you know, we have to be realistic. I believe in faith and prayer and all that, but we have to be realistic. And I'm thinking, you just undermined your faith and your prayer. Because how many of us know that miracles aren't always, quote unquote, realistic? I'm glad they went ahead and built the building. Now, my point then was, because the negativity was so my normal, I thought I was doing the right thing. And the sad part is I would, even when I was a young pastor, I would nix people's dreams. I would nix people's hopes. This is terrible. This is a true confessions right now, okay, people? But to me, then I started getting depressed. I was depressed all the time. Well, is it any wonder if I'm negative, I'm going to get depressed? In Zechariah, just a couple of days ago, and there was a scripture that jumped out at me, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, that says, take refuge, you prisoners of hope. I love that. Listen, church family, I once was a prisoner of negativity, but by the grace of God, now I'm a prisoner of hope. Who wants to be a prisoner of hope? I'm like, you know, lock me up and throw the chain or the key away. I want to, for the rest of my life, I know I've been a prisoner of negativity, and I know the fruit that that yields. Now, I'm a prisoner of hope, because I want to see God's power manifested. And how many of us know that God works with hope? God doesn't always work with negativity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, that's the wrong frequency. That is the wrong frequency. And sometimes we get mad when somebody is also, you know, very hopeful and very faith-filled and encouraging. Well, that's easy for you to say. You're not in my situation. I'm like, you don't get it. You don't get it. Is God a miracle-working God or not?
Amen.
Are all things truly possible with God or not?
Amen.
Amen. He's a God of all hope. He's not a God of negativity. Can I get a witness in the house, church family?
Well, Pastor Jerry, you ought to read the Old Testament when he smoked all those people. Well, he did smoke all those people, but that was a different covenant. That was a covenant of law.
And law said, you do good, you get good, you do bad, you get whacked. You know what's that, brother?
They had to do away with that covenant.
That's right.
Nobody could live it.
That's right. Nobody could live it. So now I'm living into a new covenant, the covenant of grace. Grace says, I don't get what I deserve. I get what God wants to give me in spite of me never being able to deserve it. Can we give the Lord a good hand clap for this? This is good. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a God of grace, and I'm now in a covenant of grace that I can ask my Heavenly Father whatever is on my heart in the name of Jesus, and if my heart motives are right and if it coincides with all of His counsel, He will give it to me. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, He will give us our petitions that we have presented before Him. 1 John chapter 5. That was just scripture right there. Okay, so in closing, what's the question again?
Speaking.
Because God's frequency is always there. We have a frequency of hope. We have a frequency of peace. We have a frequency of provision. We have a frequency of encouragement. We have a frequency of joy. You know, it's a funny thing. The more, the closer I get to Jesus, I start picking up little frequencies. At first, they're faint. But the closer I keep getting to Him, they become louder and louder and clearer and clearer. And I find myself more at peace.
Peace.
How many of you have ever driven from town to town on an FM station or an AM station? I know they have Sirius XM radio now, satellite radio. Poo. I used to like kind of old school when you drove from town to town and sometimes one frequency cut out and then you start picking up very faint. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'd be driving something and then another station would come on and be, "We got married in a fever." Some of these country songs. Was that Johnny Cash? I don't know. I haven't seen that song, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not. Anyway. Sorry. That thought could distract me in all kinds of different directions. But you pick up little frequencies. But, you know, the closer we get to Jesus, church family, all of a sudden you start tuning into frequencies that you didn't know existed. Frequencies of peace. Frequencies of calm. Frequencies of encouragement, frequencies of hope, frequencies of God's goodness to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many of you were blessed with this message by the Word of God?
Amen.
Can we give the Lord a good hand clap? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I give you thanks for this, your Word, Lord, that I believe you placed on my heart to deliver to your people. And I pray, Father, that they're encouraged. Father, thank you that we will let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in our spirits, Father. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for being a God who always speaks. May we always be listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.